disintegrating because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah. Good morning. A lot of crazy stuff going on all around us, folks. I mean, if you were just to stick your head out the window and just look around, shut everything down, and just study everything that was happening around us, it's amazing the times in which we live. Not only do we have what appears to be the beginning of social unrest in America, you certainly know that's coming, and even more as the weather begins to warm up. We're going to have more and more social unrest. But weather unrest, it's unbelievable. The storms. Remember, California didn't have any rain. They were in 7 years of drought. Remember, they were going under. There wasn't any water in Lake Mead. There was no water at all out there. And now we're seeing, if I think I'm right, the fifth consecutive huge storm that has come in to California, flooding them. I saw last night, there's a dam in Nevada that is breaking, and they have ordered a mandatory evacuation. Now, that's not the Oroville Dam up in Sacramento. That's not what we're talking about. Now, I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat for you real quick. A lot of people say it's weather manipulation, that now they call it a river of water in the sky. I saw that quoted, a river of water in the sky, that somehow they have manipulated I don't want to call it the jet stream, but the weather patterns to where all, imagine that you have a vacuum cleaner and you're sucking stuff. You put that vacuum cleaner out and it sucks and it pulls things in that direction. Like, let's say you had smoke in your room. You got a vacuum cleaner out and it sucks into them. They say the weather manipulation has now created a river of water in the atmosphere that's now coming in storm after storm after storm over California. Now, it never made sense to me how California could be right on the coast and never have any rain. Did that make sense to anybody? I mean, 7 years. It's been 7 years they haven't had any rain. And now it has been non-stop rain. Tinfoil hat tells me something's going on. But you know, I could do what my friends do. I could pick up the Bible and say, yep, says it right here, Coach. This is what's going to happen at the last days. Well, it does say that, but it also said that our hearts are going to fail us for fear, crazy things that are coming upon the earth. I appreciate you joining us. Our audience is growing, I know that. And I get up every morning. I'm honored to be here with you. But I'm also a bit burdened every time I get up because there's so much I want to share with you. And, dare I say it, so much we've already shared. I don't know how to catch you up. And I jumped on the YouTube page today, CoachDave.tv, CoachDave.tv. It's just amazing the content that's on that website. There are hundreds and hundreds, literally, of videos on there. And it's all good stuff. So I like to keep everything fresh, and I don't always know how to do a show without looking like I'm repeating myself. But people are joining us every day. And some of them have got to figure out how we can catch up exactly where we are. And can I tell you this too? It's a deep commitment. We're not catching casual viewers. Pastor Wayne, I'm telling you, I'm hearing daily from people who tell me, Coach, this has revolutionized my life. This huddle has revolutionized my life. They're not turning in to get their ears tickled and to feel good and to feel better about themselves. These are people who already understand something is going, something's happening here. They already know that, and they're not able to find it anyplace else. Now, don't miss out. They go to Hagman and Hagman, and they go to Steve Quayle's website, and they go to the Dave Hodges. They go to all that stuff. But I would say this, I could be wrong. I don't know if anybody is putting the biblical meat into what's going on the way that we're doing it here. And I think that's what what's impacting people's hearts. And I just watch what goes on my Facebook page. By the way, I thank all of you out there. I watch what goes on my Facebook page. Hey, Rich, I'm seeing more and more bold Christians going on my Facebook page telling the God haters to go suck a straw. More and more of that is going on. I think that is a good thing. Because I want to promise you this, as Sarge sent me a real great video last night that I'd already seen from the Patriot Nurse, I think that's her name, trying to warn us that this other side that we're fighting against, folks, they ain't playing dodgeball. They're playing for keeps. We're seeing more and more and more now that the left is actually calling for violence. They're actually calling for violence. Now, who are they going to do violence on? And then what are we going to do when they do? See, those are some decisions that we better think about. We better ask ourselves. Did the Lord ask us to become, well, that song, Keep on the Firing Line. Keep on the firing line. Keep on the fire. I was trying to think of the words of it. Keep on the firing line. And I've become convinced that Christians, when they sing that song, see, Jared's a good man. He's trying to pull up the lyrics on that thing, Jared. Keep on the fire. Okay, listen to this. Let's read this here together. Many years ago in childhood, I used to play till evening time would come. Still winding down that old familiar pathway, I hear my mother call at setting sun. Come home, come home. It's supper time. The shadows lengthen fast. Come home, come home. It's supper time. We're going home at last. Some of the fondest memories of my childhood are... Some of the fondest memories of my childhood are woven around supper time, when mother used to call from the back steps of the old home place, come on home, son, it's supper time. My, how I'd love to hear that once again. But you know, time has come for realization of truth that's even more thrilling, that someday we'll be called up to gather in supper time up there. So, Jared, where are the go to the chorus. That's what I want to hear. See if that isn't down there below it. Keep on the firing line. Keep on the fire. There it is. Anyway, as Jared's trying to find this, Christians seem to think they keep on the firing line. There it is, Jared. I don't even know what we were just reading. Here we go. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. Got that, Rich? If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we must face. If we die still fighting, it's no disgrace. Cowards in the service will not find a place, so keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight. Be brave against all evil. Never run. Never even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the firing line. We could go down and play this. Maybe Jared can find that. We'll play it. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Christians have become convinced that to keep on the firing line means to be like those ducks that you used to see at the carnival. You know how you get those pop guns with the cork in them, and you try to shoot the ducks that are in the water, and they'd be bouncing down in front of you, and you try to shoot them as they went by. See, Christians think we're the ducks. We're supposed to be getting shot. Keep on the firing line. Let them keep shooting at you. Looking like Jesus getting killed. No. It's an offensive mindset. Keep on the firing line. Keep after them. And this mindset that we see in the Christian church, we thank God that we're finally beginning to awaken. We have been so long a pushover. We've been a pushover. The church has been a pushover. And it would be okay if that was our Christian heritage, but it isn't, guys. That's not our Christian heritage. So we are coming into monumental times in the kingdom of God as it's playing out before us in America. And please understand this, that the playing out of this battle is bigger than just the good old U.S. of A. It just hadn't made it here yet. Do you know why it hadn't made it here yet? Because we got two oceans. You can't just walk here. Now they're coming up through the south, up through that border. But they can't just walk here. In order for the those who do not share our values to get here, they have to be, somebody's got to fly them in or ship them in or whatever. So we are a little bit different than England or Germany or France or Italy. They can drive there. They can walk there. They can go across a landmass. It's harder where we are. So we are a little bit behind the times in regards to this, but we got to wake up. Hey, Jared, go to Titus. Titus 1. I want to show you some things here, guys, that just before we really get into it, some stuff I want to talk about. We're going to listen to me, folks. They're trying to abolish abortion in Texas. If they abolish abortion in Texas, they will abolish abortion in America. Let there be no doubt about it. We are on the offensive for the first time. There's a big rally down in Austin, Texas this weekend that several of us are going to be part of. That's why I started out by saying things are ramping up. The devil's team are troublemakers, and they will resort to violence. I'm just giving you a fair warning. Do this. Go on Facebook. Start an argument with the God haters, and it won't take two exchanges till they're calling you names. That's all they can do. Call you names, and they ought to do this to you, and they ought to do that to you. I'm trying to warn you that it's, as Neil Diamond sang, coming to America. It's coming to America. I ought to play that song. I'm in Titus. I hardly read about Titus. It's from Paul. Same guy's writing all these things to all these different people, groups of people. He's writing to Titus. I'm going to start in chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 4. No, let's start in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the true, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, he can't lie. He doesn't lie. He can't. Promised before the world began. But hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Remember, preaching the Old Testament. There was no New Testament. They were writing it. And for this cause, what cause? For what cause? Well, he's manifested, preached through the preaching. For this cause I left Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as a servant of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, not striker, not given to filthy lucre. Boy, I could preach right there, Michael. Filthy lucre. Chasing after money. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. Rich, not a lover of bad men, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he's been taught, holding fast the faithful word as he's been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For here we are, Rich. Here we are. Here we go, Sarge. Pastor Wayne, you ready? For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Is he talking about the world here? So no. These vain talkers, what are they? I got to find it again. Vain talkers, deceivers, unruly, them boys in the church. Wow. One of them's even a prophet of their own said the Cretans are all liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Hey, Rick, hey, Wayne, hey, Michael, therefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Boy, I could preach right here, Wayne. This is good stuff, man. This is some good stuff. New Testament, by the way.
Coach, it sounds like there's a swamp in the church.
It does sound like I've got to drain that swamp. What are you saying, Wayne?
I was saying you missed the first part of verse 11 because you went real fast.
Uh-oh, take me back.
Mouth must be stopped.
Whose mouths must be... Oh, I missed that one. Whose mouths must be stopped? Because why? They subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. Again, why? For filthy lucre's sake. This ain't Hollywood they're talking about. It's not the government. I'm talking about church folk here. Wow. 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure or should be pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, there ain't nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. This is good preaching, huh? Somebody give me a thumbs up. They profess that they know God, Sarge, but in works they deny him, being an abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Who's he talking about? Guy sitting beside you in church, sorry. Or maybe the guy standing up in your pulpit. Sorry, I'm just reading the word. Oh, my goodness. I could keep on going because chapter 2 is even better. Let's go there real quick, Jared. Because remember, there are no divisions in chapters. Somebody just put them in there. So he's still talking about those same guys who are what? Their works are abominable and reprobate. But speak you, Rich, Sarge, Michael, Roger, but you speak the things which are sound doctrine. That the old man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. And then the women, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, but teachers of good things. That they may teach young women to be sober. How about the women's march for lesbianism, huh? That they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Verse 14, that they may teach young children to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Wow. To be honest. Wow. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed, and young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself, when Jared does, I lose it. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Keep talking about works here, don't they? In doctrine, showing corruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And exhort the servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them which are in all things, not answering again, not stealing, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. I got to quit. I could just go on and on and on and on and on and on. Verse 15. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Woo-wee! That's New Testament. That'd be New Testament. And the result of that is what? Because we haven't done that, look at the mess we got. Amen? Look at the mess we have. So we're heading to Texas. Anybody want to jump in here? Go shift gears on us here real quick. Anybody want to jump in and amen that or oh my that?
I wanted to say that there's people that I've had discussions with over Old Testament, and they don't even want to have an argument or a dialogue about Old Testament. We're under the new covenant, they keep saying. Mm-hmm. And I keep saying, well, you know what? 50 years of so-called indoctrination in the Catholic Church, I can't recall ever Titus being on the menu. because they like to pick and choose what exactly they'd like to take out of the Old Testament. They think it's basically irrelevant.
Yeah, that's like me eating lobster. I ain't eating Titus, thanks. I want a hamburger. I want some with a little bit of cheese and some sauce on it. Don't be giving me this Titus stuff. You know what it is? It's not fake news. It's a fake gospel. We're getting a fake gospel, see? What do you think, Wayne?
I think you're right. I think we want to be liked by everybody. And so we stay in certain areas. I know you get bashed a lot on here as a pastor, but they need it.
I do.
You know, sometimes you make yourself feel good by giving people good information, and then they feel good that they got good information, and you feel good that you gave it, but you did absolutely nothing because there's no application. It's the application that hurts.
It's everything, brother. It's everything. It's taking it to the field. If you can't take it to the field. And again, my coaching, I compare a coach to a pastor in a lot of ways. Rich, I got to hurt the boys before they get good. We got them through weightlifting and training, and oh my goodness, take them through cardio. Oh my goodness, it's hard work. Two-a-days is hard work. We have to take them through that hard work to get them to the goal that they're trying to attain. And we want to be always feeling good. And I don't necessarily want to be punching pastors in the face every day. That's not my desire. But brothers, pastors, you're going to be held to a higher standard. And we are training up Christian softies. We got soft Christians. We have a Christianity today that a woman is able to embrace. My wife and I, God love my wife. Oh, my God, I love my wife. She is so tenderhearted. I'm going to tell you, I bring a different gospel than she does. It's the same gospel. I bring a different form of the gospel. Together, the two of us, anger, wrath, and mercy. Wrath and mercy. But we've taken wrath out of it, and we have mercy, 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 mercy. It's all we do. Love everybody. Love. See, I didn't want to go here. You know, Milo Yiannopoulos has been busted out. Can I say something true? Oh, here comes Right Wing Watch, and here comes the Daily Kos. I'll make this as honest as I can be. I've been to those homosexual parades. I've seen them. Rich, you've seen them. They're young. They're young. And Milo Yiannopoulos said, being honest, which you're not allowed to be, Milo Yiannopoulos said that sometimes it takes a older man to bring out the homosexuality in a young boy. Milo said it happened to him when he was 12 by a priest. That sometimes older men have to show these young boys how to embrace their homosexuality. So are you ready? Hey, Rich, here we go. Right Wing Watch. Here comes George. This is going to be on Right Wing Watch tomorrow. I would say this. Homosexuality and pedophilia are interlocked. I believe they're interlocked. And, you know, you have to understand that homosexuals can't reproduce, so they recruit. Say it again. You missed it. Right Wing Watch, Daily Kos. Homosexuals cannot reproduce, so they recruit. And who do they recruit? Young boys. They recruit young boys. And Milo said that, see? And as soon as Milo said that, wow, he got hammered. But he got hammered by both sides, right? He got hammered by the conservatives because they say that's wrong. You shouldn't be having sex with little boys. That's wrong. And he got hammered by the homos. You know why? Because he wasn't supposed to be saying that. He got hammered from both sides. He got disinvited to CPAC. He lost his job at Breitbart. He lost his book deal. Sitting down? Titus, you sitting down? We have stooped so low. We have stooped so low in American Christianity that we require an open, flaming homosexual to defend conservative values. That's how far we've fallen. Not only have we fallen that far, we embrace this clearly lost man to be on the front lines defending the conservative cause. So much so, they invite him as the keynote speaker at CPAC. We just read that in Titus, didn't we? We just read that. I got a video. I don't have it up here today. Conservatism is pretend salt. Pretend salt. It's not the real thing. It's not the real thing. Conservatism is phony. It's a phony carbon copy of Christianity. That's what conservatism is. See, it's phony. And so therefore, Milo can be openly gay. Thanks, Jared. Counterfeit salt. Milo can be openly gay and received by the conservative movement. Is this? Somebody defend me real quick, because Right Wing Watch is going to come after me. And maybe if you say something edgy, you'll make it on there too. Hey, guys, this is going to be on Right Wing Watch tomorrow. That I said all homosexuals are pedophiles. Which is not what I said.
Yeah.
What I said was older homosexuals prey on young boys. Somebody give me a thumbs up if you agree with that. It's part of the homosexual. Rich, just go to the gay pride parade and look. These kids are 18, 19 years old. Where did they learn how to do this?
Coach.
Yes.
It's all part of the man boy love. I don't know how to pronounce it. The
NAMBLA, North American Man Boy Love Association.
And with Milo coming out, it's disgusting that the church is attacking him for that, for stating a truth. What he's doing is biblically wrong. And the thing is that in my family, I have sodomites, homosexuals. And when the whole marriage thing, they walked away from me because of my Christian belief, and they don't talk to me anymore, and that's okay. But my point is, I had said to them, at what point is this going to stop, when they start allowing the NAMBLA to come about? And an older brother said, oh, that'll never happen. I said, excuse me? I said, you're married now. Do you leave your grandson alone with your husband?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
That didn't go over well. That was sent out to the rest of the family, and now everybody hates me.
Well, you know, Sarah, I was going to, this is not, I've got a whole list of stuff I was going to talk about. This isn't one of them, but let's stay right here a second. You see, the Milo in that interview that they did, a year old interview, maybe some of you guys don't know Milo Yiannopoulos. He's all the rage. College campuses. He's all the rage because he's a conservative homo. Jared's pulled his picture up there. You can see him. And he's getting enormous speaking fees, and he's going out, and he is one of them who is speaking against conservatism, or speaking against liberalism and homo fascism. He's against all that. And he has said in his own speaking and his own writing, listen, I'm not normal. We're not normal. Homosexuals, we're not normal. He said that, and of course it hates him. So they have to destroy him for having said that. But in a video that was about a year old, Milo, in just a give and take interview, they began to talk about young boys and homosexuality and priests. And that's when Milo, just being honest, said, well, I'm paraphrasing, That's kind of how it begins. Jared has it. I don't want to watch a whole bunch of it there, Jared. Let's see if we can find a short one. This is 6 minutes. Yeah, let's start about right there, just so we can hear Milo. Right about right in there where he starts talking about pedophilia. And he's not approving it. He's just telling the truth about it. This is how homosexuality spreads. It spreads through pedophilia. That's all he said. He wasn't making a point. He was telling the truth. That's all he was doing. And they got to get rid of him because he's telling the truth. See if we can pull a little bit over there, Jared. I don't want to watch. I just want you to get a little bit of a flavor because this video is the whole rage with Milo. This is what pulled him off of CPAC. This is what got his book deal. Because in this, he does not condemn pedophilia, but rather says it's sort of the way it works with homosexuals. See what we get there, Jared. Go ahead and try it.
As far as what is right and what is wrong. No, I got lucky. They beat me a little bit.
What do you mean you got lucky?
Me
you got unlucky. You didn't get that taste of... No, I said, just like I said earlier, if it weren't for Father Michael, I would have given far less good head. I mean,
there was a real Father Michael?
So much less. You know, he's going to get killed now. But
who was Father Michael?
I'm not... No, I bet...
Was a real dude? I should make you suck his dick? For real?
Make me. I was quite enthusiastic about it. I fucked my English teacher too.
How old was he at the time?
I don't know. He's quite young, quite hot.
Really?
Yeah.
And so that's where it all started, with Father Michael?
No.
Was that post the tranny?
Yeah, it was post. So I wasn't drag abused queen as a child or anything like that.
So
it was quite a
you already had the fivesome and you're like, this is all wrong. I need to talk to Father Michael. He's like, suck my dick and shut the fuck up.
Okay, it's like, kind of vulgar. We don't need to listen to that. Sorry about the vulgarity there. This is the way that world lives, right? But he goes on to make the point that, yeah, it was the father that let him into it. And actually, Milo said, I went after the priest. He didn't come after me. But this is the way that it works because young boys need old men to show them how to come out and how to do gay sex. That's what Milo said. Now, guys, girls, he's just telling the truth. There's no pretense to him. Just telling the truth. Are you trying to jump in here, Mike? Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to say something that's a little bit more radical. The fact is that because the church doesn't say anything, we have to have people like this crop up. That's right. How God uses the evil to turn things around. And that's what's going to happen here. Milo is a person who is deeply wounded by his experience.
Yes.
And the only answer is with a God answer. And I believe in his search that God is going to eventually use him in a way that will bring him to God in its own time. But at the present time, because of us being too quiet and too scared to say the right things, we have to find people like this cropping up to start the revolution in the right direction that God wants it to go.
Amen, Michael. And you guys know this. I'm not telling you anything. The day is going to come when they're going to do everything they can to destroy me. See, I'm not big enough yet. But do you understand this? When they put me on, when they put this program on Right Wing Watch, it's not because they're trying to make, listen, they put this on Right Wing Watch as a warning. This goes on Right Wing Watch so that this crazy Coach Dave hits the radar. Do you understand? Do you understand it? And so last week I kind of joked that I made the Daily Coast. See, people think that's bragging. No. I've gone up on the radar. And the higher you go up on the radar, they have this way of notifying people. And what are they notifying? Hey, there's a fascist. There's a fascist. And I'd make this prediction, Rich. If Hillary had won, this show would already be over. The show would already be over. And you guys know this. With all deference to my friend Pastor Wayne, a tip of the hat to Pastor Wayne. If the average pastor was saying what I said, we wouldn't be in this mess. And so there's great confusion. See, there's great confusion in the body of Christ how we should treat young men, pardon me, young, over 18, 21-year-old men who want to have sex with young boys. We are confused. Now, if I dare, I would have sex with a underage girl, they'd hang me from downtown courthouse. But this is a no, no, no. You don't talk about this in gay circles. Why? Because it's the way they operate. Right? It's, again, the same thing. Women treated one way, men treated another. And we sit by the church silently. Come on. I saw an article. Oh, this is so good. I saw an article yesterday on ESPN, I think it was. I was doing a little surfing on ESPN. And some woman in the WNBA, for those of you who don't know, that's the lesbian basketball league. The WNBA, she dropped out of the WNBA. Do you know why? Because she felt out of place. Because she wasn't a lesbian. They ran her out. So in other words, dare I say it? Lesbians recruit. You go to your local, our two daughters played college softball. One played at Hillsdale College. The other played at Marietta College. They were both accomplished players. And every time I go to the ball games, I kept an eye on my daughters to see if they'd taken the homo bait yet. There you go, right wing watch. To see if they'd been taken the homo bait yet. And they hadn't. They didn't have to. Because they weren't cropped-haired, wide-bottomed girls. They're pretty girls. Godly women. They didn't take the bait. I'm telling mommies right now who are watching this show right now. Daddies, you listen to me. If your daughters are good athletes, you better cover them in prayer, because the recruiting that goes on, the pressure that goes on to be one of the girls is enormous pressure. Hey, Sarge, I'm hitting all the buttons today, buddy. They're going to have to do three different postings for me today on Right Wing Watch, and I'm just telling you the truth. Yes, who tried to jump in here?
Yeah, you just hit the nail on the head when I told you all about 3 months ago or 2 months ago, where I told my alma mater, University of Maine, who were in cahoots with Duke, and ESPN was the TV show station that's sponsored by Disney, because Disney owns ESPN, and how they were using this third party called You Can Play, which pushes athletics, homosexuals and athletics, and ensuring the equality button is pushed, and where they went on national TV, and this third party, You Can Play, actually paid for the T-shirts so that the kids would be out there on the pregame show supporting the entire LGBT community, and in defiance with the Duke with regards to the bathroom law in North Carolina. They play the kids like you wouldn't believe to support that agenda.
Amen, Sarge. Here you go. I'm going to say it again. Here you go. Sarge said equality. They talk about equality. Listen to me. Two men laying in bed having sex. Huh? It ain't equal with my wife and I and the covenant of marriage. It ain't equal. Do you understand, folks? That ain't equal. I'm just saying it four times so the Daily Coast can pick it up clearly. That ain't equal. Because if two men having sex is equal, then sooner it'll be a man and a dog having sex. Oh, don't go Puritan on me. Then it'll be a man and four men, and that'll be equal. And everything will be equal. And everything's equal because I'll tell you why. The church and the leaders in our churches, they don't believe a daggone thing anymore. They don't stand for nothing anymore. And we're going to have to reach the point where we are going to decide, are we on God's side or are we not on God's side? And we're not going to be able to take the rules of God and change them to fit the society in which we live. We cannot say times have changed, therefore those old laws don't apply anymore. We cannot do that. And we just read about it in Titus. You better figure out which side you're on and what it is that you're going to believe, because we are in a war. Here you go, Daily Coast, and the homosexual agenda is out to recruit your grandchild. That's why they're teaching it in the schools. That's why they're teaching it in the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts and Disney and everywhere you look. They are trying to recruit. They have to recruit. They can't reproduce. And the church has gone so soft. I felt that one.
I think it's a discernment issue. You know, they don't know the difference. They don't know when to exhort and when to rebuke.
All right.
And they have it backwards. They rebuke people like us, and they exhort the other side. That is the mainstream pulpits today, and it's a discernment issue.
Rich, when I was teaching troubled children, I always told them this. Troubled, I'm talking, they were, I called it pre-guns and knives. They were tough kids, troubled, tough kids. I said, here's your problem. You listening, church? Hey, are you listening, church? Write this one down, Wayne. Here's a sermon. Here's the problem. You're proud of what you ought to be ashamed of. And you're ashamed of what you ought to be proud of. You got it exactly backwards. We see the church when Jesus said broad is the way and narrow. We in the church say, all welcome. Everybody come in. That's not what he said. He says, no. You don't come in on your terms. You come in on my terms. Broad is the way, narrow, wide and few. And what does the church teach today? Oh, we're inclusive. Everybody come in. See, we are ashamed of what we ought to be proud of and proud of what we are ashamed of. And we ought to be able to stand up and say, listen, I'm part of that exclusive crowd. I'm part of the elect. And you and I, spiritually, dude, we ain't equal. Somebody help me. Is that the gospel? Isn't that the gospel? Wayne, isn't that the gospel? I am not. I might be equal in the eyes of the law. I'm going to tell you something. When I receive Christ as my Savior, I'm not equal with some dude of the world. We are not equal. Is that a misteaching? Am I missing that one? Well, I'm fired up today.
And they'll never be equal.
Only if they come and be adopted into the family, then they can be equal. But they can preach equality all they want to, and they ain't equal. They ain't. They're not ever going to be equal. They are not the same. Homo, sex, sodomy is not equal to monogamous Christian marriage. Never will be, no matter what laws they make. Never will be. And shouldn't somebody start saying that? Shouldn't somebody start saying that?
It's not natural.
It ain't natural. It ain't natural. How do I know it ain't natural? Because it's, oh, thank you, Lord. It's fruitless. There is no fruit from homo sex, no fruit. And so you flip the coin and you look at the other side, and now we got all kinds of men and women going out and fornicating like rabbits, and there's all kinds of fruit. And there's so much fruit, we have to open up buildings to get rid of the fruit. We have to kill the fruit. And homo sex and abortionists walk hand in hand down the streets of Washington, D.C., declaring women's rights. Hey, Rich, we got to decide what we believe. We got to decide what we believe. I believe the Bible. That's what I believe. I'm not going to apologize for it. As I said the other day, I'm sorry, I was born again this way. This is what I believe. And if we have any chance at all of rescuing Western civilization, some of us better start standing up and beating on this thing publicly and calling them out and saying the truth and telling them, you know what? John 3, go there real quick, Jared. John 3, just one little scripture. Somebody give me a thumbs up. I'm feeling pretty good here. I'm feeling pretty good today. I think I'm hitting a home run. Yeah, well, here's the trouble. right wing watch is going to try to have to figure out how they can, how they're going to paint me on this one. I'm thinking they're going to say that homosexuals are not equal. That's where they're going to go. I think that's what that'll be. Coach says homosexuals not equal. That's where they're going to go with it. So let's expect it. And remember, they're not applauding us. They're putting us up on the radar. John 3. I'm sorry. I got talking, Jared. We know about being born again, yada, yada, yada. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Cool. Keep going, Jared. Keep going. Verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's got to go through him for the world to be saved. For God sent not his world, his son into the world. I'm sorry. And he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is what, Rich? Condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And Rich, here's the condemnation. The light's come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And for everyone that does evil, he hates the light. Jesus is the light, isn't he? Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed. But he that doeth truth cometh into the light, that his deeds may be made obvious. But they all came from God. Now keep on going down. This is all good. We can keep reading this. Go on down, Jared, to the end here. Okay. Verse 36, Rich. Hey, Pastor Wayne, we need a different voice here. You read this one for me, will you, Pastor Wayne, verse 36 for me, because it's in the Bible as well.
Just happen to have it underlined in mine. He that believes in the Son has everlasting life.
That'd be me. That'd be me.
He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life,
but
the wrath of God abides, lives in, makes a home in him.
Doggy, huh? See, that's the danger of just using partial verses. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but everlasting life. Yeah, but come down here at the end. If you ain't received him, you're in trouble, dude. You're in trouble. Why won't we preach that message?
Coach, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Since we're already way off course and we're not even close.
No, we're not. We're doing great. We're doing great.
That's good stuff. What gospel did we get, or when did the gospel change? Like when, you know, the first Christians came to America, the Puritans came here. Somebody got outside this book. They put you in stocks in the middle of town and whipped you until you got you. I mean, when they said the mountain stopped, they took it literally. And said, you're not going to live that way. You're not going to act that way. We're going to make a public spectacle out of you.
Amen. Now,
you know, I know it was a couple hundred years ago, but how did we transition from being very, we discipline people for getting away from God, and now we don't do anything. We celebrate.
Well, Wayne, was the New Testament written back when the pilgrims came over?
It must have been brand new then. They didn't understand
it. Yeah, they didn't understand it, did they?
They haven't been translated yet.
That's probably it. Or think about this. I don't know if you know this or not. When they set up the United States of America, the 13 colonies were set up as denominations. Most of you don't know that. They were denominations. Massachusetts was Church of England. Pennsylvania. What do we call Pennsylvanians? Why, they were the Quakers, weren't they? Huh? New York. Why, they were Dutch Reformed, weren't they?
When they had church. They'd set the ushers up with head church, and they would literally take attendance when you walked in the door. If you wasn't there on Monday, they'd go to your house and knock on your door and make sure you wasn't on your deathbed.
Isn't that something, huh?
Today, we got no rules.
That's why John Adams said that the Constitution was written only for a moral and religious people. It's totally inadequate for the governance of any other. And so we've removed moral and religious people. And so now all hell's breaking loose, and we can't figure out why. And since all hell's breaking loose, we think, well, we might as well join. Church might as well join. Come on in here. Come on in. Everybody, come on in. Even though the scripture tells us to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness and warns us that there's some things that we shouldn't even speak about. Some things that are being done in darkness that we shouldn't even be speaking about it yet we put him in the worship team. Yes or no?
Dave, go. If we go back to Titus 1:11,
yeah,
let's go back there. Let's go back there, Jared.
Must is the key word.
Wow, Rich. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. They're talking about one of us, right? Whose mouths must be stopped. Why? Well, they subvert whole houses, teach things which they shouldn't teach, all for money's sake. Wow. I think Titus, he must still be around. he must be around seeing what's going on. Rush Limbaugh wrote a book, See, I Told You So. Titus ought to be able to see that too, say that. Or Paul, I'm sorry. Paul ought to be able to say that as well. See, I told you so. Told you so.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, George.
Coach, you know, really what we owe homosexual, non-homosexual, all people alike in the church is a chance to repent and to get right with God. And you know what? What's really sad is the church has become so unsalted. For the most part, that's not even being offered today, so that a person like Milo, let's say someone like him that genuinely is hurting, doesn't really even have much of an opportunity to hear the true gospel message.
George, that's the truth. He could walk into the average, careful what I say. He could walk into a lot of churches in America and not feel convicted. Not feel convicted. He'd walk right into the church and be welcomed. Milo's here. Oh, yay, Milo, yay. You know that would go on. And it's because the salt's lost his savor. See, the Lord has a great dividing line that he is drawing. You're either with me or you are against me. You either gather or you scatter. There is no middle ground. What has happened to Christians that we will not draw a line in the sand and say, don't cross that. You cross that, we're out of fellowship. I'm sorry. And I go back to when I used to watch those Westerns. What's Jared? He'll probably catch up on this one too. Used to watch The Lone Ranger and Have Gun Will Travel, Rawhide. Rifleman. And it was very, very clear because the good guys wore white hats. We knew who they were. But not only did the good guys wear white hats, the bad guys wore black hats. In case you missed it, they color-coded it so you knew. There's one, Jared. Put that one up there. Well, it's John Wayne and who's beside him. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Good guys wear white hats. Bad guys wear black hats. Good guys wear white hats. Bad guys wear black hats. You know what we have today? We have gray hats. We have gray hats. No bad, no good. Everybody's okay. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all in this together. Bad
hats. Purple and pink.
Purple and pink hats. That's what we got now, right? Hey. There's no black hats here in our church. We accept everybody. Oh, there's no white hats here. I'm not better than anybody. What a lie that is. Hey, Pastor Wayne, when I got born again, I got adopted into the family of God. I'm not equal to a black hat, am I? Am I equal to a black hat, Wayne?
Switched hats.
I switched hats. But we got people that switch hats and they want it to be gray. They want to be in both camps. We're going to have to decide which camp we're in. So when we go to Austin, Texas, God, I'm out of time. Oh, my goodness. We go to Austin, Texas this weekend. Rich, I ought to get us a bunch of red hats, a bunch of white hats. Although I'm going to wear them a cross hat. That'll be delineated enough. And I don't know if you noticed this. The other team always wears a uniform. When we were in Washington, D.C., Big Rich, what was the uniform color when they were in Washington, D.C., Rich?
Well, I've seen a lot of pink hats,
mm-hmm.
a lot of black clothes.
Yep, pink. See, they couldn't even go to red, scarlet red. They had to go to pink. Just kind of blend in pink. Pink hats. They'll be in uniform. And we're finding that these anarchists are wearing dark uniforms. Why? It's very clear. We just read it. Even though the light came into the world, they loved the darkness because their deeds are evil. So they want to dress in black. Black Sabbath, right? They get these. We have these colors and these names and these traditions for a reason. Black magic. Black. Not gray magic. Ever any gray magic? And how does Satan come to us? Why, he comes wearing a white hat, doesn't he? Sneaks up on us in his white hat. Stole it from somebody. Probably got it at church. They gave him the white hat. This wasn't where I was going to go at all today, guys. But this is so critical for us to understand. We need to more than ever. Rich, I got a shirt upstairs. Maybe I'll wear it tomorrow. Maybe I ought to get these made up. It says, intolerance is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. I don't tolerate everything. Only a fool would tolerate everything. Intolerance is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, Lord's intolerant. Not everybody's getting in. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord. Where is that, Wayne? That's in Matthew, isn't it? I'm going to get this to you again.
Matthew 7.
Matthew 7? I love having these pastors around. These learned pastors bail me out all the time. 7:21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord. Hey, Rich, who would be saying, Lord, Lord? Would that be the lost? No, I don't believe it'd be the lost. They wouldn't be saying, Lord, Lord, would they? They already got their black hat on. We know where they're going. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, and wears a white hat shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. The only ones going to be able to get in here is going to be those who does the will of my Father. And many, they're going to come up to me on that day and say, hey, Jesus. Haven't we prophesied in your name? And in the name have we cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works? And in your name been an open and welcoming congregation? And in your name accepted and loved everybody just as they were? And haven't we done all that? And then will I, red words, profess unto them, hey, dude, I never knew you. Get out of here, you worker of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man built his house upon a rock. And rain descended and floods came, the winds blew and beat it on that house, and it didn't fall. See, they're trying to knock us down. I ain't fallen. Because I'm built on a good foundation. I'm built on a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them, hey, Rich, what about those who don't do them? Everybody who hears these sayings of mine and does them shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Doeth him not, I'm sorry. And the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and next thing you know, we didn't even recognize America for what it was. Embrace the hate, boys. We're out of time. Embrace the hate. I'm a proud hater. I hate sin. I hate what sin does to people. I hate the way sin destroys families. I hate the way it destroys society. I hate the way that it breaks people's hearts. I hate sin. I'm a proud hater. Proud of it.
Amen.
We need a little bit more hate in the world. God bless you all. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, no. What the world needs now is truth, strong truth. That's what we need. Sounds like hate. God bless you. See you tomorrow.